Tales of History and Imagination. Today's tale is set in Hartlepool, a seaside town in the northeast of England. The date? It's never been stipulated beyond the Napoleonic War, so any time between 1803 and 1815. If one takes the carnage of the Battle of Trafalgar into the equation, then probably between 1803 and 1805. A lone French ship, unnamed in the sources, lay in ruins, scattered the length of the beach. The night before, it was tempest-tossed by the merciless North Sea, then smashed against the rocks of an unforgiving shoreline. Locals gathered to assess the scene, perhaps to look for survivors. Perhaps, less charitably, to pillage anything of value before the sea claimed it all for itself. Amid the flotsam and jetsam are dozens of corpses, all dressed in French military attire. The assembled rescuers, onlookers or pillagers, knew this did not bode well for them. Was Hartlepool a French target? If so, was this an advance party for a coming armada? Some way down the beach, a sole survivor crouched low on all fours, cannily observing the scene. He was short, like a child, yet excessively hairy. When somebody approached him, he started to babble in a strange language, bare a mouth full of canine teeth. The man attempted to scarper. With considerable effort, he was eventually pinned down by a couple of strong men, then escorted away. The locals were at a complete loss. They had 1,000 questions for the strange little man. Was the ship a vanguard for a larger expeditionary force? Were the French spies among them already? Why them? Hartlepool was yet to become the industrial centre it would later become. With a growing population just down the road at West Hartlepool, and a spa industry which brought in many tourists every year, a stranger could easily blend in, something which no doubt made the locals very nervous now. An impromptu court was put together, and they fired question after question at the survivor, only to get unintelligible gibberish back. Well, they were at war with France. The man was in a French uniform, seemingly having come from a French warship wrecked up on their beach. As small as he was, he seemed extremely dangerous. With all of his friends already dead, who would miss him? So this strange man was condemned to death by hanging. A gibbet was constructed in the town square, and the Frenchman was hung by the neck till pronounced dead. Sometime later, legend has it, it was discovered the hairy man was not a man at all, but a monkey. Probably a ship's mascot. The people of West Hartlepool, who considered the people of Old Hartlepool little smarter than the average chimp, mocked them mercilessly for the hanging. They may have regretted this later, as urban sprawl led to a conjoining of West Hartlepool and Old Hartlepool into one greater Hartlepool. They were all monkey hangers now. What does one do with such an embarrassing appellation? Well, Hartlepool leaned into the tale. In Hartlepool, a statue to the poor unfortunate monkey bears memorial to its heinous execution. Many in the city don't care, they wear the name Monkey Hanger with pride. Their soccer team, Hartlepool United, are nicknamed the Monkey Hangers. Their mascot is Hangus the Monkey. In 2002, a local politician named Stuart Drummond successfully one-upped Screaming Lord Such and Count Binface by actually getting himself elected to the mayoralty. He campaigned in a Hangus the Monkey suit and ran on a platform promising free bananas to all schoolchildren. But then, later writers suggested something more diabolical was at play. Children were often employed as powder monkeys on ships, Their job, to ferry gunpowder from the ship's hold to the cannons. Divi's locals mete out summary justice to some poor child, and then concoct this monkey tale to avoid a hanging themselves. Divis changed the complexion of the legend for the locals. While their soccer team are still the monkey hangers, Mayor Drummond presided over Hartlepool for 3 terms. But with such scant evidence, another question has to be asked. Did any of this even happen? Almost certainly it did not. From 1803 to 1815, 38,000 ships wrecked along the coast of the United Kingdom. Just 14 of those were in or around Hartlepool. It is a matter of public record that all 14 ships were English, and no monkeys were reported as being hanged on any of them. On the other side, the French have never forwarded a missing ship either. So where did this tale come from? Enter Edward, Ned Corvin. Corvin was born in Liverpool in 1830. He moved with his family to Newcastle upon Tyne, aged 4. At the age of only 7, his father died, leaving Ned the man of the house. He was sent out to work for sailmakers, but having no aptitude for that work was let go. After this, he took on any work at all going at Billy Purvis's Victoria Theatre, a travelling music hall troupe based in Newcastle. Corvin quickly rose from gopher to child star. It turned out the boy could really sing. More than that, he could make up songs on the fly about whatever town they were playing in. In 1855, he wrote The Fisherman Hung the Monkey-O while in Hartlepool. Just dropping in to say I'd intended to sing this little bit myself. I've damaged my voice, which is why I'm running with this episode this week. Whichever I'm talking for more than a few seconds will become quite apparent when my voice starts to crack and do weird things. So the following excerpt, borrowed from a YouTube channel of a gentleman called Keith Gregson. Fair use and all, but link back in the notes. Check out his channel.
In former times, midst war and strife, when French invasion threatened life, and all was armoured to the knife, the fishermen hung the monkey-o. The fishermen with courage high, they seized the monkey for a spy. Hang him, says Jens, another he'll die. They did, they hung the monkey-o. Doorum, 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 da. Doorum, 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 da. Doorum, 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 da. The fishermen hung the monkey-o. They tried every means to make him speak.
But where did the idea come from? Corvin's song had precursors. In 1825, an anonymous pamphlet, The Monkey Barber, was doing the rounds. It told the tale of an unfortunate Irish farm labourer who had come to Glasgow, Scotland to harvest crops. Having stopped at a barber's shop, he found this hairy little barber waiting for customers. So he asked for a shave. In this rather parochial, xenophobic tale, things didn't end well for the poor Irishman. To quote, "The monkey, willing to try his skill in the art of shaving, took the basin and brush, performed the operation of levering with great dexterity, but did not prove so skillful in using the razor. He drew blood at the first stroke. The second and third took some pieces out of the chin and part of the nose to make him more level, which so roused the blood in a Hibernian hero that he jumped on his feet and cried out, 'Ye bandy-legged, pistol-shinned shamrock, long-tailed, beetle-browed, pig-faced, long-nosed rascal. Do ye cut people's faces off here?'" There was another song in 1825, The Baboon, toasting a baboon who'd recently toured the UK with a party of Cossack soldiers. Although I couldn't find so much as the lyrics for that song. Now, of course, Corvin's song predates the publication of Charles Darwin's Origin of Species by 4 years, after which a lot of people went crazy for monkeys. And for our purposes, simian impersonation really took off across English theatres. But that said, one particular Monkey Man character, Monsieur Guth, had been a popular character on Drury Lane for decades by then. So much so that after a couple of decades playing the role, the costume had been handed down to a second actor more than a decade before Ned Corvin entered the scene. And then there was a tale, allegedly from Bodham, Aberdeenshire, in Scotland. The date, sometime in 1772. It bears striking resemblances to the legend of the Hartlepool monkey. One night, a ship allegedly washed up on the rocks, killing all on board, save one. Local pillagers arrived to find this sole survivor, pet monkey. Believing a shipwreck with no survivors was legally fair pickings, the men executed the monkey, and then stripped the wreck of anything of value. Some versions of this tale state, rather than a Frenchman, the pillagers believed the hairy beast to be the devil. In a chicken-egg situation, the tale of a bottom monkey does appear to predate that of Hartlepool, and has spread far and wide throughout the UK. Following the creation of The Fisherman Hung the Monkey-O, people in Scotland adapted the song to The Bottomer Hung the Monkey-O, creating a feedback loop between the two alleged incidents. Although I should point out, there is as much evidence for this case as there is for anyone in Hartlepool ever having executed a monkey. But unlike the people of Hartlepool, to so much as whisper, "Far hang it, the monkey," could get you into a brawl to this day. Or at the very least, to be greeted with the reply, "Why, have you lost your brother?" Thank you for listening. This has been Tales of History and Imagination. All episodes written and narrated by me, Simone Whitlow. All music, yours truly. Visit the show at historyandimagination.com. You can follow me on social media, links in the show notes. Get access to exclusive bonus content via my Patreon, also in the notes. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a like on your podcatcher of choice and share the episode, as word of mouth is the best way to help shows like this grow. See you back in 2 weeks' time for more tales of history and imagination.